All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am Christina Vina, as you know, and I have the privilege today of speaking with someone that I personally consider a rock icon, and it would be Mr. Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. How are you doing, Dee?
I'm doing great, and that's very flattering. Thank you very much. Christina Vina. I love that name.
You know, I had another lead singer of a band say that he was going to write a song and rhyme it the whole way through. I would be really interested to see if someone could do that.
Well, it's definitely that kind of a name, you know? It's kind of a name a guy could fall in love with, Christina.
Oh, that's so sweet. Now I'm flattered. I married into it, though, so hey, I can't take full credit.
Wasn't your name? It's kind of like Bukes. Yeah, gotcha.
My original name was Christina Marie Morales. That also rolled off the tongue.
Yeah, that's nice. So you want to be sure there weren't a few more names in the middle there?
Yeah, really. I know, right? Us Hispanics, we just have them all in there, like 18 names.
Yeah, my guitar player, Eddie Ojeda, when he gets his full-blown, when he gets his Spanish going, it's like later that day, same day, he's still reading names.
Exactly. I'm with you. Well, you know, I got to tell you, obviously, I understand why your interviews have been running long, because there's so much people probably want to talk to you about. And, you know, I can't blame
them. Interesting that, in these 25 years, I've managed to do quite a few things, but I'm happy to talk.
Well, that's wonderful. And you know, like I said, I'm not the kind of person to blow smoke up anyone's ass when it comes to music. But, this is probably going to be a highlight for me speaking to you, because I really do consider Twisted Sister and Dee Snider personally to be, you know, some real... I don't know, just like turning points in music for me and for many bands, a lot that I speak to today. So this is really great for us and for our listeners. So thank you for doing this.
Well, fire away. What do you got?
What I got is, first of all, we got to talk about this re-release that they're doing, the 25th anniversary edition of Stay Hungry, which is phenomenal. So, I mean, I've listened to, most of the unreleased tracks from the second disc, and also the new single 30, which I love. So, I want you to tell me, for you, this has got to be a real monumental point in your own personal history in music, having this come out 25 years later, and just everything that it has influenced over the years.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, it's kind of cool that they even want, that the record company, Vinyl Records, even wants to put out a 25th anniversary edition. I mean, there's a lot of big records that reach that milestone. Obviously, it's every record eventually reaches that milestone, but they don't put out every one. And that says that they think that there's something significant here. I mean, musically, 1984, that's when the wall really came down, and heavy metal started to just take over, and the music, whole music scene changed. As far as the material that's on the record, there's a lot of outtakes that nobody has ever heard.
Right.
As a songwriter, I would always overwrite for every record, bring in 15 or 20 songs for a 10-song record, and then the band would democratically vote on what the song they like best. But listening back, and I'm really critical, quite honestly, there's some things in there I'm going, whoa, that was really good. Why did we ever record that one? And the fans, I know the hardcore fans, they like the little behind-the-scenes stuff to know more about the process and how the record came to be or why it came to be. And this special edition really sort of lets you see that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I loved the fact that you guys did that, and you're right. Fans that I speak to now of bands that are currently writing, I think they have more of an idea of what goes into it, because now with the internet, bands involve their fans in a lot of what they do. So,
oh my God, now with Twitter, which drives me insane. I mean, because I don't tweet or whatever they say. I'm too busy.
Right.
But I know that the bands are giving the step-by-step, blow-by-blow of the entire process.
Exactly. It's crazy. It's great, on one hand, but like you said, unless you're able to really dedicate yourself to doing it, it's a lot to keep up with now. It's good in so many ways, and other ways, the whole illegal downloading thing that's been going on. It's like, I guess you have to really pick and choose what you latch onto as an artist and go with it,
Yeah, there's a certain romantic quality to imagining what happened or how it came about. And the fans, you know, they hear the songs and they, back in the day, and you hear the songs and you sort of, and see the album cover, the video, and you read articles and you fill in the blanks in your own as to how this came about.
Right.
And the reality is, it's often far less romantic and far less glorious than you imagined it to be.
Right, of course.
But still, I think that's part of the imagination element of the past is great. Now that, while at the same time you have amazing access to your bands, you do lose that.
Right, that's true. I will say, though, that when, you know, you mentioned having the previously unreleased tracks, you know, for me, I'm a music glutton, you know. I, obviously, doing what I do, I get a lot of stuff sent to me constantly. And I try and listen to it all because I always feel like there's some, like, band to be unearthed that maybe no one's heard of that is just going to become a favorite, you know. But it's true that one of the things I think of is, yeah, you know, songwriters, they write a lot more songs that actually end up on the album. And as a fan myself, I'd love to be able to hear those. You know, you just want to hear everything your favorite artists do.
Well, and like, you know, and for me, it's, I gotta put myself in the fan position as a fan, and because sometimes I say, like, who's gonna care about this? Who's gonna care about this, you know, old stuff that's sitting here, you know?
Yeah.
It seems that significant to me. But then I say, well, I just bought the New York Dolls, I think it's called All Dolled Up. It's this ultra deep two-disc set of all these outtakes and original recordings because I'm a New York Dolls fan.
Right.
And I said, well, that kind of fan is going to want to hear this stuff from Twisted Sister, and they're out there.
Oh, yeah.
I got to appreciate, just as I'm like listening to this Doll stuff and analyzing it, there are fans out there who are going to want to do the same thing with Twisted.
Of course, and you know, that it's true. When you're in Twisted Sister, you probably don't think of it as deeply as the fans do, but the reality is, and as much as, I mean, you released Stay Hungry only a year after I graduated high school. I'm an 80s rock chick, okay? So this was my time, and I remember everything that came from it and everything that you've done since, but, you know, do you ever step back and say, take a look at everything you guys have accomplished in 25 years, and are you just blown away? Because, I mean, it's a lot of shit.
Yeah, well, in some hands, you know, it's, in some, yeah, I mean, you do, because it piles up, so to speak. It may, at the time, I mean, there are bands who are a lot more prolific than we were and do a lot more things, but then, like as you said in the beginning, and all the interviews have said, there's so much we'd like to talk to you about, because you've done, you know, you've done records, and you've done radio, and you've done TV, and you've done movies, and you've written a book, and you've written, you know,
yeah.
And you look back and go, oh, man! There's a lot of stuff there, you know?
Yeah.
A lot to talk about and a lot of experiences to share. So it's actually, more than anything, it's kind of flattering in a way that, you know, that people are as interested as they are in what I do and what I've done, and that they continue to be. Because, honestly, Christina Avena, I'm still wondering, now I'm wondering, like, hey, so what's your last name, Bob? Avena? You're like, oh, no.
You'll never forget me, D, I swear. No, you'll never forget this interview just because of my name, so I'm glad.
Christina Avena. So, but, you know, but in all reality, you know, it's just like, you just can't, you just feel blessed that people have the interest and continue to have interest in what you do.
Absolutely. I mean, I can imagine. I think I would be in awe of myself if I were you personally, but that's just me, because like you said, it's not just the music. You personally have accomplished so much, and I am also a huge fan of Strangeland.
Thanks.
One of my favorite movies, I gotta tell you.
Well, actually, so we're finally going into production on Strangeland Disciple, which is the sequel, and everything's still moving ahead. It looks like we're starting shooting in October.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so for a 2010 release, finally. For Strangeland fans out there who are curious, what the hell's taking so long? Literally, the company that made the first one, they had a little Enron situation happen, and the U.S. government seized all their property.
Oh, my gosh.
And for 8 years, I was in and out of court fighting for the creative rights of my own movie. It was getting sort of caught up in the whole government seizure.
Wow.
And after 8 years, a couple of years ago, I finally got it out and was able to do things like I put together a director's cut of the original, which will be released soon, and the sequel is finally going to be filmed. So, and Robert Englund's returned.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be in the sequel. So, but thank you for that, and guys, look forward to that in 2010.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm so excited to hear that it's finally going to be coming out, because I've been waiting and waiting, and I know that there are a lot of fans out there of Strangeland that are just going to be thrilled to death. So
yeah, it's built a really huge cult following. I remember when a few years ago I ran into Robert Englund at a horror convention, you know, where we hang out.
Of course.
And he pulled me on the side. He goes, "Dude, you have got a bona fide cult hit." He goes, at that time he was traveling around the world promoting Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah.
Because everywhere I go, I'm signing copies of Strangeland. And there was a guy in Scotland who took off his shirt and he had an entire back piece of Captain Howdy versus Freddy Krueger.
Oh my gosh.
And he said, "Are you doing a sequel?" And I said, "Well, I'm hoping to." He goes, "Am I in it?" I said, "You want to be?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, man, I want to be in." So he's in a very significant way. And this movie is still reality-based, a sequel, powerfully disturbing. And, I think fans it'll say, well, it was worth the wait. This is a intense, dark movie.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the first one was dark. And almost too realistic to take, but see, you know, I'm into that sort of thing, whatever, I'm sort of twisted myself, you might say, but what really was rough for me, and I gotta tell you this, because I'll kick my own ass if I don't, you look so much like one of my brothers, it's frightening. Seriously, if you ever needed a double... It's kind of scary. But so when I saw the movie, obviously it was kind of a weird thing for me. I'm like, yeah, this guy is probably one of the creepiest evil guys I've ever seen, and he looks just like my brother. So it was kind of weird.
Well, Captain Howdy. The thing is that it's pretty well recognized that I created the torture film genre. Yeah. There were no movies of that type, and then subsequently, you know, we've had the Hostel franchise and the Saw franchise, and when I do a horror radio show called Fangoria Radio, and anytime I interview any of these guys, they're like, "Love Strangeland, love Strangeland, love Strangeland," and so now I feel like coming back 10 years later, that you know the bar has been raised or lowered depending on how you view it, and so I'm like going, okay, you know, if I'm going to reclaim my title,
right? Oh, yeah,
I got to really get pretty nuts.
Well,
but still staying with the spirit of the original movie and the whole world of body modification, tribal ritual, and all that stuff like
right.
that. So it's going to be very dark, very intense.
Well, let me tell you that I am a really diehard horror fan. And, you know, give my best to Robert Englund, because he is also one of my all-time favorite baddies in horror.
I
love him.
He's the Karloff of our generation. He's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And I will just say this, because, you know, obviously I've seen The Saw and The Hostel and all that, all the movies out there that are horror involved. And to me, Strangeland affected me more, because it was so much more reality-based for me, and there is so much of that kind of thing that goes on, that it just seemed deeper and more sinister than the, you know, the straight-up torture slasher kind of thing.
Well, I mean, you know, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, I really, you know, as the end product was not exactly what I had hoped for. I ran into some major problems with the director, who shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
And he really screwed up a lot of things. You should read the original script. And I really worked long and hard to create a very well-paced, moving story that had great, you know, character development. And again, I think reality is far scarier than fantasy. There's an escape mechanism when it's the boogeyman.
Right.
It doesn't go, well, there are no boogeymen, you know, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But when you deal with something as real as the Captain Howdy character was, yeah, it was disturbing to a lot of people. So, you know, with that said, I just tell you a little story. When my first line with everything I do, the first person who sees everything is my wife, Suzette.
Right.
We've been together 32 years, 33 now, I guess. And, you know, so I finished the script for Strangeland. read. And she went upstairs and she read it, and she came down a couple hours later and she said, "Is this something you want to tell me?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "What the hell is that?" And she goes, "Who am I living with?" She's freaking out. And I go, whoa. This is not my dreams. This is my fears.
Exactly.
That's the best way I could put it. I tried. I don't scare easy. I said, so if it scares me, if it creeps me out, then it's going to be cruelly intense. And so she felt better when she heard that these were all my fears in Strangeland. But, you know, that all said, you know, 2010, we'll talk again. Christina Ovina is a fan of Strangeland.
That's
so
right.
We got to talk to someone when that movie's coming out.
Oh, hell yeah, we do.
Now, there's one element about the Twisted Sister Stay Hungry reissue that I don't want to miss out on. And I don't know when it's going to air, but hopefully it's going to be soon. We're doing a special promotion that you may or may not have heard of.
Oh, yeah.
With independent record stores, the mom-and-pop record stores. This is a dying breed, and records in general is a dying breed. But in recognition of their importance for our music and for upcoming bands throughout the years, how they've been the first line of where people got to hear about these bands. I remember Sebastian Bach telling me he first heard about Twisted Sister in the local mom-and-pop record store. They were playing the B-side to I Am On Me single out of the UK. It was its only rock and roll, but I like it live.
Wow.
And he was like, "Who's that? What the hell is that?" But that's what those stores were. They were a gathering place for music fans, a place where you found out about new music, and a lot of exposure to the new music came from those mom-and-pop stores playing stuff in-house. So in recognition of those stores, on June 30th only, the mom-and-pop stores, if you buy a Stay Hungry special edition CD, you will get a free DVD of our 1984 MTV concert, but this is the uncensored version, which has been lost for a couple of decades.
Wow.
People asked about it and said, whatever happened to that show? That was the show that turned me on to your band, because MTV played it like a dozen times back then.
Yeah.
And our director, Marty Caller, was cleaning out his closets or whatever and found a copy of the uncensored version of the MTV broadcast. So we're giving that DVD. It's not even available. We don't sell that DVD. So you get a copy of that free with the new CD if you buy it only on June 30th and only at your local mom-and-pop record store. So support the indie record stores.
Yeah, no kidding. Is there a list of the stores in particular in different cities, or do you just need to call?
Really good. I know that I saw that information on my sheet. Do you know that information?
No, that's what I was looking at. It doesn't specifically say.
What is today's date? Yes, on June 23rd, on TwistedSister.com,
okay.
They're going to post a listing of stores that'll have the DVDs and that you can get your free copy. And again, you know, everybody does something with the Walmarts and the Best Buys and, you know, and the mega chains. You know, we would not be where we are or have the success we have if we did not have the support of those local stores. And in recognition, again, it's fighting the tide here because records in general are drying up. The stores aren't going to have CDs. Eventually, there'll be nothing but downloads.
Right.
But appreciation now, we're doing a special deal.
That's so awesome. I really like that idea because I know, like, for me, that was, you know, where I was introduced to most of my favorite artists back in the day. So I agree. Oh. Fantastic.
The importance of these stores is just cannot be spoken about enough. And so this is an opportunity, like I said, for us to acknowledge them. We're calling it Independence Day, but it's June 30th, and it's all about independent record stores. Christina, it's a pleasure talking to you, and like I said, I'd love to talk to you again sometime.
I would love it.
In a strange land, we finally get shooting. Oh, one other thing that your listeners might find interesting, assuming they like the movie as much as you. If you're interested in being a Strange Land disciple.
Uh-huh.
We've got supporting roles. We're doing a national outreach program casting this thing. And yeah, it's a promotional idea, but because it's an indie film. But hey, you could be in it. And we've got a lot of club scenes. There's one place called the Torture Garden, where every kind of freak and geek in the world is going to be there.
Amazing.
And go to screentest.biz, B-I-Z.
Okay.
Screentest.biz, and you can actually go online, upload a photo, a headshot, and actually get get possibly get an audition. We will be casting some people, a number of people actually, extras roles and some supporting roles from the web, from the internet, screentest.biz.
Oh, that's awesome! I'm going to definitely check that out, and I'll put a link to that up on the site as well.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be really great because so many. You can't believe the amount of people come up to me, pierced and branded to the and tattooed, and they go, "Dude, I want to be in the movie."
Yeah, no kidding,
know,
right?
String me up. Well, now's your chance.
Well, let me.
You know, it's going to be crazy.
I know that you have to go, and there's like a million things I would still want to ask you, but I'm going to see if you're up for doing what every other artist that talks to me does, and they get to end our interview by asking me a question. And it, you can if you want to. You don't have to, but it's open for any topic.
Open for any topic.
Anyone under the sun, no holds barred. We're not censored.
No holds barred, uncensored. Okay, Christina Avina.
Damn, okay.
Well, your name is so, you know, it's so sensual.
It really is, actually.
I'm getting some great pictures in my mind. Just out of curiosity, okay, what kind of guy, I know you're married.
Uh-huh.
You're married into Avina. So what kind of guy did you date back in the 80s? What was your type?
Well, I'll tell you what my type is, okay? And I'm not going
to
say...
It still continues to be? Yeah, I think that was you, actually.
It still continues to be, but then I'll let you know whether or not I married that type, okay?
Okay.
All right, my type is tall, long hair, love tats, love ink, love piercings, strong, but not too much of a muscle head, and just a very artistic, sensual guy. That's my type.
Nice. Did you marry that type?
Not even close. Not even close. He's a businessman with short hair. Not even close to as much as into music as I am. But there's, you know, obviously something my guest said about opposites attract, right?
Yeah. Or in my wife's case, I wouldn't go away. So she has her type, and it's nothing like what she married.
Oh, God.
Because I just refuse to. give up.
Well, she's a lucky lady.
There you go. Christina, great talking to you. Look forward to talking to you again, and I'll have another more in-depth question next time.
Oh, well, think about it. We'll go deep.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there you are. You already answered my question.
There you go. We could probably go on for days here. Well.
Yeah, sexual innuendo was what the 80s was all about.
That's right. And rock and roll. Well, thank you so much, Dee. I really appreciate it, and I know our fans will, too.
Pleasure. Talk to you again sometime.
All right, Dee.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.